Okay, this morning we'll be in Titus chapter 1. And to me, this is it's such a book of confirmation to the understanding that the Spirit has already revealed to me. It's such a book of confirmation, it's amazing. I'll read it first and we'll go back. Just 16 verses, but to me there's a lot of meat in it. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but has in due time manifested his word through the preaching which is committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to sound by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. There's a lot of things in here that are added by man. Most of us know that, don't we? And that's what this chapter is, to me, is pointing out, the things that we need to judge ourselves by. See, if you judge yourself, you can be judged by who? No one. See, if you judge yourself, you'll be judged by no one. Because you're usually going to judge yourself harsher than anybody else would.
No,
that's what it's truly saying, see. Once you judge yourself, you don't have to worry about what people think, do you? If you judge yourself by the right manner. Okay. In this first verse, back to the first verse, it says Paul, which means small or little. What do you think it's trying to convey in that? How about insignificant? How about humble? It's going to that line of humility that you walk in. See, if you're truly humble, you don't see yourself as the big guy on campus, do you?
No, he's not
humble. No. See? That's what I really believe that's pointing to. Okay. A servant, or literally a slave of God. Okay? Now, not that they were beaten and put in chains, but because you are a voluntary slave to God. Once he loved you, what do? You fall in love with him. There's nothing you can do about it, is there? An apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's chosen, that first fruit group, and the acknowledging, and that word acknowledging doesn't really give it the full context. It should say the precise, correct, or the full acknowledgement. You know, you can kind of halfway acknowledge things. That's not what he's talking about. Giving it the full acknowledgement of the truth, which is what? Not after, but according to godliness. If you've got the whole truth, and you live by what you believe to be the whole truth, which is the whole truth, okay? How would you live? Godly. See, I've said it before. If you believe you're a child of God, how will you live? As a child of God. But as long as you believe you're only human, guess what you're going to do? It'll permit you to be a human and do whatever, because humans do anything. Yeah. They're capable of everything.
It gives you a free license.
Gives you a license to go crazy.
An excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
It didn't say license, did it? Okay. In verse 2, it goes on and says, in hope, or literally, expectation, okay, or anticipation, okay? Expectation or anticipation of the ageless life, not eternal life, but the ageless life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before time began, okay? Makes it different, doesn't it? Now, if God promised that to us before the foundation of the world, what are we concerned with what's going to happen after we pass out of this realm? There should be no concern, should there? Okay. There's no way that you can live what the church has talked about as long as I've ever heard it since I was a child. They talk about the peace that surpasses all understanding. But they only have peace until someone steps on their toes. Someone kicks their shins, and what do? They go nuts. Act just like the world. See? How can we convince somebody of anything as long as we act just like they do? Only really, if we're church folk and we don't do what we say we are, then we are being what? Hypocrites. And we're just convincing the church, the world outside of the realm of God, they're just convinced it's all a big game. See? It's just a big game. And that you're gullible and you believe it, and they're sitting back laughing at you. But you're the hypocrite when you don't do what you say you are. As a child of God, what right do I have to blow up and fight somebody or something like that? You know, I don't have that right, do I? I don't have that right. Do you think God would give me the permission? You see these people on TV, they pray before a fight, you know, Lord, help me knock his head off. You know, you really think God's into this? Come on. And the other guys, they were praying the same one. Well, which one prayed the best prayer? God will have to weigh it out. You know, put it in scales, weigh it out. Which one said the best words? Come on. I mean, that's so ridiculous to think about that. You see the football teams do the same thing. Like Notre Dame College. They get out there and they think because they're some kind of a religious college that they're unbeatable. Really? They should be, but they sure weren't last year, or a lot of other years for that matter. But they have that concept drilled in their mind, and the Pope's on their side, and that's just like God to them, so you know, they think that they just got there and get their wheelhouse rocked anyway. Ohio State, I guarantee you, is about as far from being religious as anything. They're national champions. See, it don't make sense. People don't believe that over there because they're putting on that. They have people there that's doing all kinds of deceptive things in their colleges, just like all the other colleges, cheating to try to squeeze some way to win a game. Isn't that being hypocritical? See? I don't understand how they can block it out of their mind. It's okay for them to do it because they're trying to do something to help God, like God needs our help.
It's the Blues Brother mentality.
There you go. They're on a mission from God. In their mind, they think he was. And that was a joke. They were joking, but it's still, that's what people think. See? God doesn't need anything from us but one thing. What is it?
Obedience.
It's obedience. He said, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your obedience. That's simple. Just obey what he tells you. And he didn't say, obey what the preacher said, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Obey God. He gave every one of us a brain to think. I told somebody else in the last few days, said, hey, you know, this thing about living somebody else's life because you're doing only what they say. I said, you got a brain. Oh, I know, it's when I was on vacation. A Catholic boy was with us down there. And he's a grown man. Really, he's in his 40s or 50s. And his wife won't let him do anything. Gets to collect the money, whatever that is in the church system. I don't know. They got a name for it. And he was just so proud that that's what he did. I said,
Usher.
Usher. That's a good word for it. But.
Huh? He says his wife won't let him do anything.
Oh, he can't.
Let himself do it.
Well, he's afraid of her. She stays home. He goes and works and comes home, but he's not allowed to do anything without her permission.
Why would anybody give up that power? I mean,
sure, discussion is good, and that's courteous to your partner, you know.
No one has a right to tell somebody else.
No, and I agree with you, 100%. Yeah, there should be discussion between you when you do major things, but he has no right to. He has such a low self-esteem, and the church hasn't helped the matter at all. The church should be encouraging you to have more self-esteem, right, and more confidence in your life, but his wife and the church just beat him to death. He has no self-esteem. And I spent quite a bit of time with him. And when we got ready to leave, I forget where we were. Oh, we was in, stopped and gassed up somewhere on the way home. And before he split off on another route, he followed as far as he could. And when he got ready, he said, well, I guess I won't see you anymore this year. And he come up and hugged me out of all the rest of the guys and got in his car and left. Maybe he heard something. I tried to encourage him the whole time we were there.
Yeah. It's time
to call you. Well, he knows that he's got my card, so it's up to him. It's his move. I won't go after him and chase him, but if he wants something, he knows where I'm at. So he knows how to get hold of me, and that's, you know, we can't go chasing people down. I just don't think that's the right way to do it. If the Spirit of God can't convince them, it ain't up to me. It's not my place. Okay, where do we leave off with three? Start with three.
Yeah.
But in due times manifested his word through preaching. In due times, in the correct time, or in the set times, when God chose to put it. Just because someone's preaching doesn't mean it's the word of God. And it says it's in set time. When God chose to put his word out, he let it go out through preaching. Which is committed to me according to the commandment of our, not Savior, but what?
Deliverer.
Exactly right. In verse 4, it goes on to say, to Titus, my true son, according to the common faith, grace, and grace means divine influence in the heart of man, and reflection of that into your lifestyle. Mercy and peace. True peace comes from knowing God and knowing the truth. And didn't Jesus say, I am the truth, which was the Spirit of God speaking through him? From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are what?
Deliverer.
For this cause I left you in Crete. Crete speaks of something fleshly. Okay? So he said, I left you in the flesh, in order that you should set in order the things that are lacking, what's missing, what didn't get accomplished on the last trip you went through there, finish them up. And ordain or set or place elders in every city as I have appointed you. So all the cities he told him to go set up, he didn't go do it in every city, but the ones I appointed, go to those cities and set. Not bishops, but elders. What is an elder? Is it an old person? No. It's someone who has grown in maturity in the Word of God. Someone who is a spiritual man or woman. An elder is not necessarily a man. It's an elder man or woman. I know that goes against church teaching, but I don't care. It's the truth. In verse 6, if any are blameless, the husband of one wife, only one wife, and it's only speaking one at a time, because at this time they had multiple wives at the same time. And the church has interpreted that today, if you've ever been divorced, you can't do it, which is a bunch of, just a load of crap. Okay? That's not what it was about at all. It's about being, if you have one wife, and anybody that's married has got to be honest, there is a lot of conflicts between those two people, is there not? But those two conflicts is something you work at. Now multiply that by one more, or two more, or three more, or four more. Now you tell me how many conflicts you got.
Constant.
If there's no way to get out of the conflict, and a man and woman have to become one. They have to get their thinking process on the same plane. Doesn't mean that one of the people says yes to everything the other one wants. That's not resolving the conflict, is it? That's just letting yourself go, like the man I was talking about. He let his wife just totally take over everything. And it shouldn't be the man rules the house. No, that's not what he's talking about. When God said the woman should be under the man, he's talking about spiritually the Christ and your soul as the woman, not talking about physical bodies. Okay, where do I leave off? Six. I was still in six. Okay, the husband of only one wife, having faithful or trustworthy children, not accused of riot or unruly. Because a bishop, and if the word bishop is used religiously, it should be as an overseer. As an overseer. Any meeting you go to, there must be someone to oversee the meeting to kind of keep it within bounds. That's not rules and regulations. That's just saying keep things in bounds. Okay? There's no rules here. We just keep things in bounds. That's all. Everybody respects everybody else. Is there any issues? No. So you don't have to have someone telling you what you got to do all the time. Everyone in this room, according to the rest of the face of the earth, have the same God in them that I have. And he's very capable of communicating to you what you should be doing, isn't he?
I hope so.
If he is, what is a problem somewhere? Does that mean everyone listens to him? No. So we've got to have our ears on. We've got to listen. See, that's an individual. We have to listen. That's your own individual life. God doesn't have the same purpose for my life as he does for everyone else's life. Everybody has a purpose in the body. Somewhere. I don't know where it's at. It's not for me to hunt out what God has for you, but to help you learn and find out what he has for you. That's not my call. That's for you to find out. I have to find out what mine is and live it. So is everybody else. Okay, for the overseer must be blameless as the steward of God. See, as a steward, did it say as being a sheriff or ruler or
no.
Or God? Yeah. No. So this is an overseer. Just the overseer make things kept in bounds. That's all.
Not a controller of their whole life.
No. But see, the church wants to do that. That's the nature of humanity. If you go back into Isaiah, nature was revealed through Isaiah by God when he said, I'm going to do all these things. There were six I wills that he said. He said, I'm going to go set up the sides of the north. I'm going to be like the Most High God. Actually, I'm going to be the Most High God. See? That's the nature of humanity. They want to be in that position of authority. You don't have to be there. If you take care of yourself, you have just completed a major accomplishment. Very few people in the world have the ability to control themselves. They let their emotions run their lives. If anybody knows me, I'm an emotional person, but my emotions have no sway over my understanding.
That's the wife,
let the wife rule. Yeah, that's letting the woman control the man.
You're letting your emotions rule instead of what Christ.
Yeah, that's the woman controlling man, right? The emotions are running it. Instead of the Christ, the rock-solid foundation of truth, you're not hearsay and wives' tales and fables, and we'll get to that later on too. But it's going to be the truth and the facts that sustain us. Okay. Not self-willed, it says. Okay? What's self-willed mean? Self-willed here, the language actually says self-pleasing or arrogant. Okay? Self-pleasing or arrogant. We have many people that are arrogant in what they do. And most people don't know the difference between arrogance and confidence. Okay? Most people that are confident, people read as arrogant just because they don't understand it, because they're in a level of ignorance. But see, arrogance is that self-pleasing. But confidence still has humility. There's a big difference. Not soon or not soon angry, okay? Not prone to anger. Not given to wine. No striker. Not contentious means want to fight and argue about everything. But given, not given to filthy lucre. What's that for?
Greedy.
Greedy for money. Always wanting the money. It's always in the money. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, or of good humanity, sober. And that sober means self-controlled, okay? A self-controlled person, just, holy, and temperate. Now, the word temperate, what does it mean to you? Beg pardon?
Even
tempered? Okay.
Upper bound.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, that's those are not really the understanding of that word. I mean, the English word there, temperate, is not what it should be to start with.
What are your temperates? I think is sober.
Okay.
Sober-minded.
Well, the Greek language here calls the word masterful. A master of something. You know, when you master an ability to do things. So it would be a... this translation of the English takes you off someplace else.
Stronger thing or master.
Yeah, see, a masterful person. When you're masterful, tell me what the trait of a masterful person is.
Confidence
is a big thing in it. What else is in masterful?
Mature.
Maturity. How about something else?
Skillful.
How about determined? You're determined to accomplish whatever's set before you. Is that not true? See, when you're masterful about something, you learn to master the situations that God places before you. And when you've proved yourself to be a masterful person, you're in pretty good grounds. Okay? So these words, sometimes because our English language is so far removed from what it was 2,000 years ago or when these words were penned, that's why we have to go back and look at the language back then in this Koine Greek to see what it really meant then, not to what it means today. Okay? Verse 9 says, holding to or adhering to, holding fast or adhering to the faithful word. It's the Logos. That's the spiritual word. As he has been taught, in order that he, cross out that word, may, in order that he be what? Capable by sound doctrine to encourage, not exhort, but to encourage and to convince the gainsayers or the people that are contradicting and arguing and fussing. Does that make sense? I hope so.
Well, if he's that steadfast, and I mean, they know that he's going to be that type of a person, he's going to be driven to be mature or disciplined or whatever.
Yeah.
I would see that someone receiving the encouragement from that type of person would receive it because they've seen the fruit of his life.
They see the fruit of that person's life, and then they can say, you know, this person's proved himself. So there's something to it. It's not just someone, just like you can go on TV and hear any number of so-called preacher wannabes on TV. They're trying to get attention. They're trying to be on the radio. They're trying to be on satellite, begging money, begging money. That's not the nature of God. God never begged anybody for anything, did he? The nature don't fit. But they're not worried about that. They're self-promoting. They're wanting to be, like I said in Isaiah, they're wanting to be God. They're wanting to be the one in control. And you know what? He said, if you exalt yourself, what would he say he'd do? Okay, if you abase yourself, he'll do the exalting and nobody can take you down from where he puts you. Okay? Verse 10. Because there exists, not all, but there exists many disobedient and vain talkers or idle talkers. When he says vain or idle talkers, what's he meaning? It's just words that have, they're empty words that have no meaning, no life in them, no truth to help somebody.
Crapsters.
What's that?
Crapsters. I cleaned it up for
you. There you go. There you go. That's all it is. It's just wasteful words. Time stealing. And deceivers. Now, the word deceiver here says, actually in the Greek says, a mind misleader. People that mislead people in their mind by the words that they speak. That's being done in major scale this morning. In many places.
Which one again, guys?
That's the deceivers there in verse 10.
Okay.
It's a mind misleader.
Okay.
Especially they of the circumcision. And there's the kicker.
That's the religious folk.
You're right on the mark. Okay. Beware of the circumcision. Didn't Peter say that? Beware of the circumcision. He said it, they said in King James, they said concision, but it's literally the circumcision. Why? Because the Jewish people have all these wives' tales and myths and things that they teach that God didn't teach. But it crept in by somebody in authority having people buffaloed into thinking that they were truly agents of God, and they're not. So people start believing it. And once people hear, you could take a lie and start telling it totally ridiculous something like the... What about the green cheese? The moon's made out of green cheese. How many people have ever heard that one? There's still people all over the earth that believe that.
The man in the moon.
There's no truth to it, but people still purport these truths because they live in a life of ignorance and deception. Well, the majority of the people say it's true, just like the devil. The devil made me do it. There's no devil. The word, it's a parable. And they don't understand that, so they want to use this and blame this person. And the church has created, the church systems have created the devil into a personality. And he's as powerful as God. Some of them say he's more powerful than God. He must be. He's winning 90-some percent of the creation in their eyes. You know, you go compete with somebody in a game, any kind of a sport, and you get 99 points and every team gets one. And how could you stand and say, I win with 1 point? I mean, you know, common sense, this doesn't make sense. But people are so easily deceived because they don't go check it themselves. They just believe what they hear. It's easier, isn't it? It's easier just to believe what they say, and the majority of people believe it, so it's got to be true, right? They're just lazy, that's right. Okay. Got to watch out those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be what? Silenced. who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake or shameful gain. Just do it for the money. Whatever they can get ahead in the money. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Well, he's talking about the religious ones again. And that slow belly literally means lazy gluttons. Okay?
Ready to get that picture of the big, eating the great big belly. Yeah.
Yep.
Fat belly. And
yep. Yep. Like Buddha and all the rest of them. They just took some, it was on the news, they took some Jewish priest and gave him 9 or 10 years in prison. And the only reason he got by with 10 years in prison was he'd been doing this for years. There was a room where the ladies changed their clothes and things, and he put cameras up and filmed the women changing their clothes and had been doing it for 20-some years. But after so many years, the, what they call it, statute of limitations ran out, so they couldn't prosecute him for it. Now, this is the priest that's supposedly being the good guy and doing all the right things. See, there's the hypocrite. See, he gave back. If he really believed he was the Son of God, do you think he could do that? He never believed he was the Son of God. He just made a job out of it. A secure financial situation the rest of his life. That's all it was. That's where most of them are. Yep. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they be sound in the faith. Don't put may in there. That may shouldn't be there. That's a doubt word to start with. Why rebuke them if they may not do it? There's no sense in it. Okay, verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables, and that word fables can also mean myths or falsehoods. Not truth. Okay? And commandments of men that turn from the truth. Commandments of men. When God gave us how many commandments in the Old Testament, in Exodus? Huh? 10 commandments? How many rules did the Jewish people write thereafter very quickly? 613. Imagine that. Hey, they're still writing. You know, every church has got their own commandments, you know, they write. But what's the number, 613? Man's rebellion. Oh, well, that's okay. But see, that verse right there tells you, huh? No, it's a law of man. Why do you think they call it the law of Moses? They didn't call it the law of God, did they? The law of Moses. Verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, is nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now here's the one that tells the story of the hypocrite. Comes plain out and says it. They profess they know God, but in works they deny or contradict. So what their words say, I've used this saying for years, excuse me, your words are speaking, your actions are speaking louder than your words. People tell me things and I say, excuse me, I can't hear you. Your actions are so loud, I can't hear your words. They deny him or contradict him, being abominable, which is idolatrous, okay? And disobedient, which is, that word that there isn't disobedient, it should be unpersuadable. It means you can't change their minds. They're like that says in other places in the New Testament, their minds are seared through with a hot iron. They can't think, they can't change nothing that they do. And to every good work, they are what? Literally, unfit or worthless. Hey, Paul's just being truthful here. How come you never hear people minister this little book? How many people's ever heard somebody really I'm not talking about in here. But how many have you ever heard somebody else minister this book?
In the church?
In the church world. Huh? That's unimportant to them, see? Because it will expose them as being the hypocrites they are.
Got to do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah. And tell you that's the New Testament, which is actually Old Testament. It's still under the law. There wasn't a death, burial, and resurrection yet. See? So. Oh, well, any questions, comments, or rocks to throw?